Well, good morning, everybody. We have reached the Sunday morning final hour of our weekend together. And of course, we all are going to have those feelings as we get in our cars and drive away. And a lot of it's going to be you're going to miss the area and the talks and all that, but you're really going to miss each other. And I'm sure that many of you have exchanged phone numbers and emails or what. And next time you're visiting Dallas or the next time you're visiting LA, just go out of your way to contact your friend. And you've got a lot in common. There aren't that many secrets around. There's a lot of people who are thinking about it. There's a lot of people who are going to get around to it when it's more convenient. But to actually make the decision is rare. And you know it, and I know it. You can just look in your own group and see all the people who have achieved pretty good sobriety and are staying there. And the few that have really looked at our literature and saw where the jackpot was and decided to go after it. So that's why you're a special crowd. We've been following the story theme throughout the weekend, and we get to the final thing, and the title is called History. And of course, this definition of a story is history of something. And you know, the history of the United States, the history of Peru. You could just go through and find books that'll tell you the history of all kinds of things. But it occurred to me you could take that word and split it, and it says his story, the story of God. And I would submit that all history is a record of the history of God. That this is the unfolding of God. And it's been going on since the beginning of time. And the scientists have been extremely helpful in helping us to understand what the beginning actually was. Up until they made their breakthroughs, whenever it was, 20 years ago, we were stuck with, let there be light. And we used our imagination to light. Well, the lights came on, God reached over, hit the light switch, and there was light. Now we know that it was something the scientists call the Big Bang, where something extremely tiny with infinite temperature and infinite density suddenly exploded. And that was the beginning of God's story for us, whatever, 14 billion years ago. And we've followed it, paralleling a lot of the spiritual teachings as this was documented scientifically. And so to me, it's exciting to see man and his ability to study, to put something that was a vague spiritual story into reality. And as it unfolds, it's more amazing than the spiritual stories that were attempting to describe it. It's just more amazing. Every time they find something and I go, what was that again? Yeah, there's these tiny, minute particles and they behave differently if you look at them. What? I mean, holy cow. That means we as an observer, play an important role in the story. And they just tracked how the energy and how the matter and energy just spread out and began to coalesce and form into clouds, and till we have one tiny little solar system around one star where we are, and beyond our wildest imagination, how many billions of other similar places. The thing that interested me was that they calculated the odds on the planets forming, and then the odds that this tiny thing exploding would end up with life. And they concluded that it exceeds all laws of probability. It's absolutely improbable and statistically impossible for life to have formed. That's an interesting statistic, isn't it? That put the scientists in a box. Looked like you were forced into concluding that there must be a God who decided that he wanted life in the middle of this universe. And so they have postulated that there are billions of universes, therefore statistically it's not impossible in one of them for life to have formed. And I go, how convenient. So I'm staying with the fact that this creation ended up with life, and that perhaps the purpose of the whole deal was to materialize us. Living spiritual entities that have the capability to be aware of the universe scientifically and of a creator, because the message board was built inside telling us to look for something beyond ourselves. Disregard all religions, prophets, or anything. We have enough evidence inside our own selves to realize that there's something beyond us. And so we could say that the Big Bang happened 14 billion years ago, and we can break it up into little time segments. But we know that time is an arbitrary measurement, and that no matter where you are, you're in the now. And so a way for us to look at this in a more personal and spiritual way is not to say that this boom, light occurred 14 billion years ago, but rather that it's still happening, and we're part of it. We were part of the original plan, and this is how it unfolded so that it ended up with life. Very special spiritual life that could be aware of and appreciate the magnificence of this creation and our own creation. It is, I may be wrong about this, but I read somewhere that if you had 150 miles of electrical wire and you turn the current on, and there's nothing on the other end of the wire, it's not connected to anything, the electricity doesn't even enter the wire yet. It doesn't travel 1 inch down the wire until there's something on the other end to receive it. And then it's there, boom. So in order to complete the deal, there has to be something at the other end. If we follow that same analogy into the universe, you could say in a similar way that when a tree falls in the forest and there's no one there to hear it, there's no noise. And if we could say that if there's no observers of the universe, how could you ever prove that it exists? So for it to actually exist, like these particles that behave differently when they're observed, it required an observer of sufficient capability to observe it. And then it comes into being, if you follow what I'm saying. So part of the reason that we were created was to complete the connection and turn the entire universe into something much bigger than it was without observers. So I just see us as one of the most essential parts of God's plan. And we cannot appreciate that from our egos. We can't make the connection. It doesn't travel in until we can establish the conscious contact. And it's in the establishing of the conscious contact that you see a universe that is way beyond what you could see before. You could see the world as you never saw it before. It literally, as our ninth step promises say, it materializes. Do you see what I'm trying to lead up to? But it doesn't materialize until you're ready to have it materialize. You have become in contact with that which wants to show you something. So it took a leap of faith to decide to take this course of action. And the only reason that we take it here in AA is because somebody else just like us said it worked for them. And we heard that he was a bigger asshole than I am. And he's not anymore. Something amazing took place to that guy. I'm not sure I believe all this, but I'm curious enough to try it. And so when we finally did, we were amazed before we're halfway through. It was just amazing. So we have to suspend traditional belief in order to move on. I go to a wonderful gal, been going there for 15 years. If I don't get massages, my back spasms, she has Chinese medicine, she does all this stuff. And then she does kinesiology. Now, I don't know if you know what that is. So we try to diagnose which particular medicine would be best for me. And so we pick up little jar number one, and she says, now hold your arm up and resist me pushing it. So she pushes, and puts that jar down, and picks up another one, and then push, she goes, this is the one. And I'm going, hello? Hello? And I go, okay. Now you have to suspend a lot of traditional belief to pay for the medicine. And yet it works. And there's authors that have written about that. The eye of the eye, if anybody's heard of that. So whom we're dealing with, conscious contact with the creator of this universe, we got to get rid of preconceived ideas. We got to clean the old ideas. In other words, it's like a battery and it won't start. You got to go in and clean the terminal, you know, scrape off all the stuff that won't let the juice flow through. And then, bam, fires up. You've all done that. So following the history story, that all history is his story, we move along and get away from the scientists and get down to our little tiny, tiny spot on planet Earth, the alcoholic spot. And we go, well, God came up against the alcoholics, so what did he have planned for them? He obviously created them. Why would a loving God create a horrible disease like alcoholism? Why would he do that? People are dying and they're suffering. Well, the answer came in December of 1934 when another light appeared. And I think about Bill in that hospital room, and I, in my own mind, call that the Big Bang of Alcoholics Anonymous. Because up until that split second, there was no hope for any alcoholics in the world, and there never had been. Washingtonians had some success, but it wasn't spiritual, and it eventually faded out. So in the instant that that took place in one man, you and I, 50 years later, whenever you all arrived, were saved because of that event. Not only did it remove the obsession to drink, but it planted inside of the recipient of this unbelievable transformation the commitment, an unwavering, undying commitment to bring this to every alcoholic in the world. And then the test came up. Well, let's see how big your commitment is. And you read the history of Bill and the early timers. Some of us might have quit in the first month or the second month of helping drunks and nobody getting sober. And thank God Lois said, well, you're staying sober. And then getting evicted, and we got no house, we got no money, we got no car. Some AA members go, well, come on, stay with me for a month. I'll loan you a car. We could chip in and give you $20 a month. And that keeps up for almost 2 years. And still no big signs of success. And finally they meet Dr. Bob. And we start seeing this very slow, many times it could have gone wrong. If you want to see God, study the history of Alcoholics Anonymous. You will see God everywhere. He's just in there. It's just, there's too many coincidences. There's too many shutting down of the ideas that they thought up. They were instruments in saving your life and my life. And once again, we could look at this as Bill's Big Bang happening 77 years ago, or we could say it's still happening. That burst of light in Towns Hospital has continued to this day being transmitted one alcoholic to the other. And I submit it's the same energy that arrived in that light. And it comes into me, I'm in the darkness. Some other messenger who has received this light comes over and touches my hand, scrapes away all the stuff that won't let the electricity flow, and now I have light. And I'm no longer in the darkness. This is not new light, it's the same light. It's as if we had one candle and we just kept passing it around, lighting people's candles. That helps me see that it's all happening in an instant. But we can conceptualize it better by spreading it out and breaking it down in little chunks and looking at it and all of that. And so you finally have 1 year of sobriety, and then you have 2 years of sobriety. But when you step back, the light was turned on, and it continues to burn. And it burns timelessly, and we don't need time. We don't need to celebrate an anniversary. But we do that because it helps new people. It helps people who are thinking only in material terms to deal with it. But as you move on, you will see that I didn't plan my life. It just happened. I said earlier, Alcoholics Anonymous is a happening. It suddenly happened, and it's still happening. That's it. It's still happening. One of the terms that Bill uses in the Big Book, you know, he's so wise. He has many names for God. Power greater than yourself, the higher power, spirit of the universe, the spirit, the creator. I like, in terms of the weekend that we have here, the great reality. Now, isn't that a great one? So you can say, well, I had all my stories and that was my reality. I want to move to the great reality. So that would be synonymous with the fourth dimension, whatever you want to call it. We're leaving one reality for the great reality. Let's not screw around with these low-level realities. Let's go to the great reality. Well, we have to be willing. This is why the program is so hard. And it's going to sound funny in here. We have to admit that there might be a greater reality than mine. And even if you're lying in the gutter, you don't want to relinquish and acknowledge there could be something greater than your reality. Mine's the greatest because it's mine. Can you feel that? Can you feel it? Look, you could be out of the gutter. And that's too big a sacrifice. I got to give up my reality. Just to have a nice room and meals and be happy. And that's you're asking a lot for me to give up my reality. And so it's important, if you're sponsoring people, it's important in your home group to introduce history. If you want to advance the spirituality of your group, yourselves, the people you sponsor, bring history in. It helps us see God because that's his story. All history is his story. We had a meeting, a peer in Tampa. Some of us in this room go to it. And this is how it happened. You'll see that it was not planned. A meeting got too crowded. People were sitting on the floor or around in the kitchen trying to listen around the corner. And a small group decided to start an overflow meeting just so that the people who came to that meeting weren't sitting on the floor. That was the only purpose of starting it. And there was probably seven, it was mostly gals. Melanie, Mike's fiance back there, decided to do that. And they had met once, and then I said, well, I think I'll go down and be with them. I always like to be in the ones that are starting up. And they were meeting outside. And then after it got a little hot and bugs and this, they said, why don't we find a room? So they found a room. So we had a meeting with about six people in it, and it was a discussion meeting, and somebody would go, okay, well, let's talk about step two. Okay, well, we could do. Hell, in 35 minutes, we were through. Everybody talked. But you have to stay there to the end of the hour in case some newcomer comes. So we're sitting around, and now we've just turned into a shoot the breeze thing. And somebody said, why don't we come up with something where one of us prepares some topic and you talk for 10 minutes, then we'll start around and we could possibly fill up the whole hour. And the first person that came in said, I'd like to talk about Sister Ignatia. And we went, wait a minute, we thought you were gonna be doing a tradition or a no, Sister Ignatia came around, they had little handouts. And they're passing me around, and there's people with 2 months. Sister Ignatia, what the hell? Is this a Catholic organization? I don't know what I've joined here. And they're passing it around, and then they go, that's so cool. She was there. This is, oh, my. So then we had a list of three people that were, you know, the next 3 weeks. Each one of them came in with another something. They looked up on the Google AA history and found some little thing, and geez, one new guy came in with the menu from the Rockefeller dinner. I'm going, where the hell did you get this? You know, and it's just going. So it's now probably a year or more old, and we got no more seats left. A lot of young people are coming to it, and so there it is. It just appeared. Now I look forward to that. I just get the biggest kick out of going. I have no idea what it's going to be. And we have enough old timers in there so that they can flesh it out and keep it going. So I'm just passing on how important history is, because it's really his story. Well, this is all well and good, but we still have to try and get to the fourth dimension. We can talk about all this stuff all we want. The best answer I ever saw to the question, what is God's will for me, is this. God's will is for you to abandon your will to him. So I'm going to just repeat that. God's will for you is to abandon your will to him. Yeah, cool. I like that. What does that exactly involve? this is abandon your will to God is the big print. Now we have to read the fine print. Oh, it's like you're in the middle of the sixth step. Everything. Everything. Abandon everything. Everything. Don't retain any for myself. Right. I'll get back to you on that. I'll get back to you on that. I'm not into extreme solutions. You know that extreme cage fighting or whatever it is? You've just gone a little too far with that. Abandon everything. Well, sorry, that's what the deal is. Now, for our purposes of this weekend, it would mean abandoning all your stories. Every one of them. And that's where the resistance starts. This has been going on since writers have been writing about this. And I don't remember what year John Milton wrote Paradise Lost. Somebody here probably does, 1700 or, is that close? Okay. And it is a great narrative about human beings and heaven or hell, or awakened conscious contact versus conscious separation, which is a description of hell. And there's, as you read it, you realize that the only people who are in hell are people who choose to be there. They absolutely choose to be there. That's their choice. And they live in mansions, and they have everything they want. They have light years of yard. It's just amazing. It's just, but they're all by themselves with everything they want. And they're miserable. Because all suffering comes from separation from God. And they go, look, get rid of these mansions and 10 light years of yard, you could be with God. Let me think about it. Remind you of this chapter of the agnostic? Die an alcoholic death, live on a spiritual basis. And his punchline is, this is the struggle, to reign in hell or to serve in heaven. Do you want to be in charge or do you want to be a servant? I don't hear any answers. Do you feel it? I want to keep holding on. I'm the storyteller. I have all these stories. This is who I am. I write my own script. So what exactly do I have to give up? Well, you have to give up all your stories. Not only that, you have to give up all your costumes, all your masks, all your disguises, all your wigs, all your shoes. Not only that, you have to give up the key to the costume locker. And you have to give up the key to the script locker. Can't go in there and pull a script out. You have to give up your opinions. You have to give up your judgments. You have to give up your politics. Most of all, you have to give up your right to yourself. Because you never belonged to yourself in the first place. I think what an order might be appropriate response. And so we find voices popping up when something like that is said. Give up your right to yourself. 12 and 12 has my favorite reaction to that. And it starts with sort of a country term, shucks. Does everybody remember that? Shucks. If I do that, I'll be a non-entity. I'll be the hole in the donut. That sounds so attractive that we postpone it. Okay, I'll give up the key to the script locker, but I'm going to keep the key to the costume locker. I'm going to make a compromise. I got to keep a couple of stories just for old time's sake. No, nothing's going to happen. So let me know when you would like to sign up for the hole in the donut and get rid of everything else. If you were in Vegas, it would be all in on the hole in the donut. All in. So, to make it easier, Far Corners has arranged, at great expense, to help you see through the hole in the donut. So I want you to close your eyes and imagine that you have a donut in your left hand. And you're going to bring it up to your left eye. And you're going to look through. And I promise you, this is what you're going to see.
I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them bloom for me and you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. I see skies of blue and clouds of white, bright blessed days, dark sacred nights. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. The colors of the rainbow, so pretty in the skies, also on the faces of people going by. I see friends shaking hands, saying, how do you do? Babies cry. I watch them grow. They'll learn much more than I'll ever know. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. Yes, I think to myself.